The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Chasing the Tide Saltwater segment on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm Dustin, your host, here this evening, trying to get this little session recorded. Spent some time on the water the past couple weeks. Even went chasing green fish. I've been having a little bit of fun out there chasing redfish. So it's that time of year, springtime, got them on the move. So with that, we got a special guest tonight, a man from Louisiana, also known as Redfishology. It's his Instagram handle, Philip Logan. About to bring him on right now and give him a warm welcome to the show. There he is. Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing tonight?
Awesome, brother. How are you?
Hanging in there, just rolling after night shifts, getting set up and everything. Got a tournament tomorrow and things rolling, man. But, we like to start out the show a little bit, little introduction and backstory. So, just let everybody know who you are, where you're from, your fishing background, what led you into that plastic boat, man.
All right, man. Sounds good, man. That's a long story.
The condensed version. The condensed version.
I'll do my absolute best.
Yeah, man. It's all good.
All right, man. My name's Philip Logan. Originally, I'm from Providence, Rhode Island. Now that hit some people because the accent, because I moved here so early. You're not. There's no way you're a Yankee. But
dang.
We moved to Louisiana when I was 9. So I've been here 30 plus years. Like I said, originally East Coast guy. I've lived in and around New Orleans, with my family for about the past 30 plus years now. Even up there, growing up there, the first few years of my life, that's those formative years. And my family was not only were we close to the water in proximity, it was just close to my family. Yeah. And my dad, my dad was a mariner, he sailed a lot. Myself and my brother, we swam before we walked. We literally grew up on the water, in the water, in one form, fashion. From anything that would float, we would take it because we could only swim so far, and we'd be digging for clams or hunting for crabs or whatever we were doing. And, there was times to where we'd have some storms. And one time in particular, an old piece of dock. When you're younger and smaller, things seem bigger, right? But yeah, this old piece of dock floated up on the beach. And now bear in mind, the beach right on the Atlantic Ocean is only about a couple hundred yards from our front door. So this old piece of dock floated up essentially on our front yard. It was probably 6x6, 6x8 or something like that. And it had a little life left in it. It was still float. It was still float. Myself and my little brother, we got on it. We found some pieces of driftwood, took a big rock, found an old scrap of a rope off one of the old dinghies on the beach. made an anchor, and we were some young Jacques Cousteau's, man.
Exploring, right? Yeah.
that was my first vessel, man. We commandeered this old piece of dock, and that became our first vessel, man. And not long after that, we moved down here. And my folks did their absolute best to get me involved in things. They knew moving a kid that age, it's easy to get caught up, which, you know, kind of did end up eventually happening. I had some wild years, my teenage years. But one of the first things my dad did when we got down here is he got really close. He had ended up meeting a guy at the hardware store and got really close with a guy born and raised, you know, down the bayou.
Yep.
And, you know, Louisiana boy through and through. And this guy really made sure he showed us the ropes, hunting, fishing. I mean, we were cleaning guns, spooling reels, you know, at super young age.
Yeah, that's how I was too. You know, I wasn't in the bayou, but I was in the coastal low country in Georgia where I grew up.
Right.
You know, and that was your rite of passage as a young kid was, you know, shooting that 22 for the first time or learning how to cast a bait caster. And then, you know, your uncles, you know, and everybody, Dustin, you going fishing with us, you know, that's it. You know, and I'm not, that's how it is in Louisiana too. It's a lifestyle down there to be on that water. That's how a lot of families provide, you know, food definitely, on their man. Table, you know, with the resource down there, you know, that's cool, definitely. Man. That's cool.
Definitely, dude. And he was one of those guys, man. So we had an excellent, excellent role model. This guy was a friend of my father's, but he was more like a big brother slash uncle. There wasn't a, you know, a time after we got close, every time he went duck hunting, he'd take us. I mean, had us every time he was hitting the woods for the squirrels and rabbits, he'd take us. He's going to run trot lines and limb lines, you know, in the rivers for the river cats, he's taking them. So the you know, just wrap, you know, kind of like you said, condensed. Fast forward a little bit, man. We would get in the flatboat. You could only get so far to the duck ponds. And this is before before mud motors and surface drives. So we'd put the P-Row. And we put the P-Rows in the flatboat, run the flat as far as we could. Park it in the marsh, flip the P-Rows out. So, you know, as kids, we paddling these P-Rows for another mile or so to get to the blind. You start seeing redfish tails.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on now. So it became a thing for us. You know, I don't know if cast and blast was even
cast and blast. Yeah.
Like, I mean, here it is. We're 11, 12 years old, and cast and blast just became part of our routine, man. So from a piece of dock to a P-Row, you know, I've been in small boats my whole life, man. And I just love the fact, you know, that I've always loved history, always loved nature. And I believe like kayak fishing is that perfect marriage of the two. You know, you're living life at by the paddle stroke. You're living your life at like 1 mile per hour, 2 miles per hour, super close in proximity to nature, super close in proximity to the water and to the animals, whether it be alligators or the redfish, right? And just being able to have that close proximity, and it makes you think if you're able to kind of conjure that frame of mind, this is how my ancestors, and this is how the native people have engaged with the resource for thousands of years.
We're not
the first people to get in small little bateaux, small little boats, and go and pluck redfish out these ponds. There's no way, you know.
No.
So it's just an awesome feeling to be able to that history and nature just to become full circle and like that perfect marriage in kayak fishing.
Yeah. And that close proximity, you hit the nail on the head right there. Ain't nothing like sneaking up on them. And they swimming right by you. Just drop your rod tip down and they slam your lure right there by you.
Can't beat it, dude.
Yeah. You can't beat that at all, man. So what, we'll kind of bounce around a little bit on some of this stuff, but the trends in Louisiana, you know, as far as you can remember back as a young kid, the fishery, it's, you know, the limits are quite a little more lenient over there compared to Texas. So y'all still got it going on, huh? Redfish is still on fire, right? It's the fishery's healthy for
sure. I'm going to tell you something. When we first moved down here, right before that, I believe it happened right before that, you know, and I don't remember all the details because I was a kid and the adults were paying attention to all the rules and regs.
Yeah.
But there weren't any limits.
Oh, dang. That's how it was when I was a kid. You fill up that cooler with 100 trout. No problem.
A free-for-all, right? So, but I'm going to tell you, man, we have the amount of recreational anglers multiplied by the thousand plus the thousands of charter boats that are running on a daily basis. With all that said, man, our fishery in terms of redfish and speckled trout numbers, numbers, they're still there in full swing, still fully healthy. Even though we have the five person limit on the Reds, even though we have the 25 per person limit on the speckled trout. Now, speckled trout, on the other hand, I mean, I'm not going to get into the limits and that whole controversy that's brewing right now in the state. But, you know, we have the quantity. Mm-hmm. Y'all and the Florida guys got the quality. We have
also some good ones the other day. You had a post of the trip at little mothership run. Y'all had some pretty decent.
A 20-inch trout, a three-pound trout ain't nothing to them Baffin Bay, you know, monsters.
Oh, yeah. That's a different breed down there in that lower Laguna and Baffin area.
The Indian Lagoon freaking gator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, but we definitely whacked them, dude. We definitely whacked them. We had, I mean, easily a three-man limit in 2 hours. You know, in 2 hours between 14 to 20-inch speckled trout.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's good.
Man, redfish, it's nothing. It's nothing to see 100 redfish within a 5-minute paddle. If you're in a mile to a 2-mile radius, it's nothing to see 100 redfish on some days.
Yeah, it's like depends on what pond you go into. You know, you might go in one pond and be a little group here and there, and then the next one just slap full.
Yeah, man, you just keep on poking and, you know, pushing and pulling.
Yeah, pushing and pulling.
Next thing you know, you see a group of 10. Then you see a school of 30. And then you see a whole bunch of pods of fives and twos and threes. And before the day's over, you've seen, you know, 100 redfish if you keep in count. Now, the flounder, and I'm just going to mention those three, I guess, you know, because that's the top
slam.
Three.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You know, the flounder have definitely not shown up. Even in my lifetime, I've noticed a pretty drastic decline over the past 5 years. There are some good signs. I mean, I'm seeing some up in Northern Plaquemines Parish already.
Yeah,
you know, and it's kind of early. It's kind of early, man. And I'll be pulling through the ponds, sight fishing redfish, and I'm kicking up flounder. So I'm happy about that, man. You know, I'm happy about that.
You see them little cotton ball puffs. That's the flounder, because when he flips off, you see them little puff of that mud. And that's it. This last year was one of the better years I've had targeted flounder in the last 3 to 5 years.
It was good to go. Over here, southeast. Now, southwest, they're still on them pretty consistently, man. But southeast Louisiana, man, I'm going to tell you, pretty much anybody will echo the same sentiment. Mm-hmm. They just haven't shown up, dude. They just have not shown up, man. And people are still catching them here and there, bro. But it's just not like it used to be. And if you were to ask most people that, even guides. Now, there's a few guys that got some stuff figured out in honey holes and whatnot, but not the majority by any means. And it's just one of those things that is pretty much accidental for most of us nowadays. You hook a flounder, it's just because you were bouncing a bug jig on the right shoreline or something.
Yeah, the right spot, right time, little drain, little ambush point or something like that. So, we get into that now. Hey, talk about, you know, springtime. You know, it's heating on up, the water temp warmed up. What's some of the, redfish tactics that you got going on? You know, how are you targeting right now? You all just strictly sight casted right now?
Well, I'm gonna tell you, man. I was kind of hoping you'd ask me about sight fishing, man. Because if not, I might expose myself on how spoiled I am.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you. I mean, just the majority of the time, not only do I want to sight fish, I'm able to sight fish. Right. And now and even when the conditions aren't super, exactly ideal for it. Because we've had an extremely windy spring so far.
Yeah.
Dude, it's been nuts. It's been like a baby hurricane every day. Now, so that means, you know, our water's already not the cleanest. Now, we get some clean water. Now, don't let those guys lie to you. We get some crystal, we get some gin clear stuff over here in the right times and the right places, all the right conditions. You know, you'll definitely find some gin clear water. But, you got a lot of churned up water, you know, a lot of high tide, I don't even say high tides, because our water, our tide table or our water levels are actually affected more by the wind than the tidal range. honestly, man, you know, the title range is very, you know, it's there's not much of a title range. And, you know, especially when you compare it to places like, you know, South Carolina, where you got a 7-9 foot title range
twice
a
day
or something like that.
Yeah, that's just like Georgia. Yep.
Bananas, you know, it's just nuts.
Yep, sure
is. But, you know, so, all right, springtime, man, you said it already, dude. The fish are beginning and have already really begun, even though we've had some seasonably late cold fronts.
Yep.
Which has kind of, you know, socked us in the jaw a few times here with the, you know, in terms of, in regards to water temps, because our water temps are just now starting to get out of the 60s. You know, they were upper 60s, and they were hitting the mid 70s, and then those cold fronts back down.
Yep.
So now the fish are happy, dude. They're transitioning. They're transitioning into their happy fish patterns. Dude, the marsh interior and exterior, especially interior right now, because a lot of the shrimp are moving out. But dude, they're smack full of bait. The water temperatures are in the mid 70s. You know, the surface temps are right at like 74.6, pushing 75. Yep. So, you know, what we're seeing is with the influx of so much bait, you know, and it's just a common sense thing. We don't need a professional or a expert to tell us, man.
Right.
The big fish eat the little fish, dude. You follow that, man. So honestly, dude, I have to say that we are extremely, extremely fortunate, man. And I'm tooting our horn over here, but blowing smoke. But I'm gonna tell you, man, dude, Louisiana, we're extremely fortunate to have probably, if not the best, year-round fishery. Mm-hmm. So we're super fortunate, man, that we have such access to such an amazing resource.
For sure.
So, but this time of year, dude, like I said, it's starting to get warm. Tons of bait, man. Tails are just waving you in, man. You're pull around a corner, pull around a point into a pond, and they're just like beckoning you. Just come on, come get me, you know. So I'm starting to see a lot of tails. You want to ask me? I think we'll get into that maybe, you know, in a few.
Yeah.
But but baits, dude, man, lures. Give me a crawl. Give me a crawl on either a weighted weedless or a underspin, a lazy man underspin.
Yep.
You give me a crawl, a bug, and a topwater.
That's it, dude.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Topwater.
Yeah, that's basically what I would have got in on it. What I wanted to speak on with what I call pick three. That's three setups. You got three setups. What you going to take? What's it going to be on them? So you throwing bait casters or spin cast reel?
Honestly, man,
all depends.
The past 2 years, dude, I've been fly on free time, solo. I'm fly fishing more than I'm not. The only time that I won't is when I can't, and I still want to go fishing, dude. And a lot of times I'll be persistent or stubborn, whichever way you want to look at it, or however you want to call it. And I'll pull out the 10 weight. Most of the time, I'm not pulling out the 10 weight unless I'm going to those 30, 40 pound range.
Right. Those big bulls
out by the islands, man. You know, those bulls out in the passes by the Gulf and whatnot. And that's what time is getting close to that time, too. But as far as interior fish, man, you know, those fish within the three to 15 pound range.
Yep.
I mean, you can, a 10 pound fish is going to wear you out on the 8 weight. And yes. You're going to fight for 20, 30 minutes. But I'll pull out, it gets too windy. I'll pull out the 10 weight. just for that little extra, the extra weight on the line, man. And, but if I'm not throwing that, dude, honestly, man, I've gotten to the point to where, you know, I grew up throwing bait casters.
Yeah.
But I've gotten to the point, and it really started because I was getting gear and gearing up for the guide service and definitely didn't want to have, you know, bait casters in all my clients' hands. Man, I went full spinning, dude. And I got to the point, I've gotten to the point to where, I'm comfortably accurate with flipping fishing. Right. All, and a lot of the fishing we're doing super close quarter combat.
Mm-hmm.
Super
yes,
close
is.
Quarter combat. I got a 6'6" rods, you know, with super short butt, some customs with the butt
yep.
completely just cut off. So it's not
I like them like that. It's yep, so it's not beating you in the gut, hip.
Yeah,
yep.
man, my gut's mm-hmm. kind of protruding already, right? So I'm not trying to blow a cash when you got that opportunity. And,
yeah.
And just these little, I've gotten really, you know, because people will still be kind of blown away or they'll ask, dude, how are you fishing spinning reels? You know, how can you do this, that, and the other? I mean, I want to be able to just press the button and flip and twitch and flip. I'm like, dude, look, I'm doing the same thing, man. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's a preference thing. That's something I've grown yeah. comfortable with. And man, I love it, man. I love being able to, you know, being able to put that lure in front of those fish and watch it all.
Oh, yeah. And in the bugs, it's much easier to cast on a
spinning.
On spinning unless you got like a finesse style setup for a bait caster. They do have some with a shallower spool, you know, that it'll handle a little bit lighter line and stuff. And I mean, the line's super expensive though. The stuff they sell it's kind of crossed over from Japan. Some of the bass are so pressured over there, they have to downsize their baits really small.
Okay.
So there's a flipping reel Luz makes that actually can cross over with that mm-hmm. little shallow spool, and it allows that line to come off that reel a little easier. It don't hold as much line, so they'll burn. So you got to throw like 10-12 pound braid, with like a 12 pound fluoro, but to get like 60 yards on there, but that's still plenty of.
Oh yeah,
for the 10 pound fish, you'd be all
yeah, good. Dude.
And crank the drag down a little bit. Yeah, you let the bruisers come through. But dude. Man, you on your bugs, man. What color? It depends on time of year.
All right, dude.
Would the hatch like a crab color or shrimp or something more bait fish color?
No, dude. I'll tell you, man. I'm not saying I know for sure. I'm not the only one. I know there's other guys, but the most seems like Mr. Heath. Like his most popular offerings gotta be the first and second generation curly tails.
Yeah.
You know, and then now you got Rex and some other guys kind of. You know, doing a lot with the bitty bugs and the flats bugs, but I don't hear much about the permittal bugs.
Dude, mm-hmm.
The permittal bug and blue crab.
Oh yeah, that's tough.
It's become my go to, man.
And on
that tiny little one, number one, man. I've caught probably, you know, for sure one of my biggest, some of my biggest redfish
on that little small.
Yeah,
permit bug. And then that clickbait shrimp too. When they in the grass and they busted the shrimp, dude, ooh, you gotta get some of them.
I haven't worked them yet, man. I got a couple of them and plan to use them and hadn't even used them, man. You know, I'm kind of stubborn, like I mentioned already, probably. But
I'll get set in your ways.
I'll get stuck and dude, like that permittal bug is just money for me, man.
Definitely. And then you hit the nail on the head with when you said underspin.
Oh, dude.
That little extra flash go a long way.
Now, sometimes, dude, you know, when we talk about spooky fish, most people don't think Louisiana. You know, you got a lot of people love to crack jokes, man. You know, there's a technique to it. Don't be fooled. You see people seeing all the posts and the videos, and oh, y'all got it easy. You can't do that in Florida. You know, all those. You got those kind of discussions, right? You know, people busting balls, man. You know, it just. Now it's definitely a totally different world now, for sure. I'm not saying mm-hmm. it's not, but you know, I could tell you a story of guys that there's an old guy down the road in St. Bernard Parish, and this dude would put a piece of rubber. Certain times of year now they call it a redfish jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
The redfish are piled up in them cold in the cold weather. They pile up in the deep water canals. Man, they got this one old guy, man. He'll put a piece of rubber off. I'll catch him on anything. He'll hook a piece of tire rubber. Somebody had a blowout, and they got a scrap of tire on the side of the road and pitch it out there. All right. So, yeah, you got those stories. But, dude, last week, I got on the fish within 5 minutes of launching. I mean, when I say I got on the fish, I was seeing them. Now, they weren't schooling or nothing, but they were piled.
Yeah.
There was one here. And you look that way, there's one. You know, in your peripheral, they got two. They got one crawling right there. You know, so the first five fish I came across, literally the first five fish I came across would not eat. And I say what they wouldn't eat. They weren't spooking. Each one of those fish gave me between 4 to 6 casts. I was able to change lure in mid, you know, and they did. It took me about 2 or 3 swaps. took me about two or three swaps
to figure out what they wanted.
The first 30 to 45 minutes. And I mean, they were just oblivious. You would drag it, bump them right in their nose, trying to snag them. And they would not take. So
get that reaction bite, you know, and they just didn't want to react to what
there are those times. And when I'm mentioning that because you mentioned the extra flash. Now, sometimes we'll have the fish and they get finicky, and there's a few reasons. You know, we know when it comes to the barometric pressure and it comes to the full moon, but it also comes to the bow fishermen. The boat, and I don't want to get on the.
Yeah.
I don't want to start, you know, make no enemies over here, man.
Right, right.
You know, you got pressure. We know. You got super pressured area. You got areas that are just super pressured. So sometimes the fish can just be skittish and funny acting. So sometimes I'll take the spinner off. I'll take the underspin off, and I'll use super low profile, super small profile, soft landing. I'll even downsize my paddle tails from threes and fours. I'll go down to 2.75s. Yep. I'll go down to 2.75 on the craws and put slightly smaller just for a more subtle presentation when they're acting, you know, kind of funny.
But most cases, sometimes they got an attitude problem. They need a little check, you know.
but most of the time, dude, when I'm throwing – like I said, 90% of the time, I'm sight fishing, man. I'm throwing craws and bugs, and I'll hook a craw pretty much any color, but I like white, and then I like the pearl and the you know blue crab color.
Blue crab color, yes.
Blue crab color, man, and I'll put that lazy man hook on them, and be able to just whack them pretty much year round.
So yeah, lazy man's got one, and then gambler's got one called a dozen. They got a gold or a silver blade too, the willow tail. You know, it's good stuff. Fishing the grass flats over here with the sand pockets, with a paddle tail with that extra underspin on there, get that extra flash, you know, especially when they, you know, when you burn in gold spoons and stuff, and then sometimes they hitting that, but then they want something a little different, you know.
Right.
Might be more of a mullet bite. They're on, they like chasing mullet more and stuff. But right. Yeah, and man, y'all nice, got a man. Good thing over there. Like, oh,
definitely,
like,
dude. Ooh. And it's nuts when you're sight fishing, man. It opens up. You're able to, when you watch the whole thing, man. The whole thing just play out.
Oh yeah.
And when you watch their reactions, whether it's aggressive or whether it's, you know, if they're rejecting it, you're watching them. So if I see they're just smashing it, dude. There's times that I'm throwing them lazy man on the crawl, and you put it anywhere within a 10-foot radius of them, they're breaking their vertebrae and getting pissed at it, man.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, so
that's how they get on top water too. I know you mentioned top water. That's close to my heart right there. That's what definitely. I love. That's what
if
I love.
I'm not sight fishing. If I'm not sight fishing, I'm throwing top water. Sometimes I'm top water sight fishing, man. You know,
yeah.
So most of the time, dude, if I'm not sight fishing, it's definitely top water.
Especially when they're aggressively like blowing up on the top of the surface. You hear that toilet sound like a toilet bone flusher when they just blasting it. It's just blasting it, you know. Yes, so, man, you can't beat when a redfish come up the water sideways and just crush the top water, you know. Especially when you see them waking up behind it, just about like a steam
torpedo.
Engine, just about to, bam! Get on it. So, yeah, man.
Great stuff.
And then and that's the thing. You've been, you know, around the waters for a long time. You transitioned into that kayak, and then you went on out and started a business, man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, for me, man, like I said, I gave the whole kind of the rundown on the you know, the small vessel type, you know, the small boat, small P-Rows, and from floating docks to P-Rows and everything in between, man. And this is before kayaks were a thing. I mean, of course, they had river kayaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But now, probably going on 7 years since I got my first kayak. Actual kayak, and it was a $75 Pelican off of Craigslist. Right?
Oh yeah, all of us might have started there somehow.
That's a funny story, man. Because my first trip out, man, I got about 30 minutes from the launch. I was just going into the danger zone. I was just going into the zone.
Full
and
speed.
All of a sudden, my butt was soaking wet, man. I looked behind me; the whole stern was underwater, man. I had to get out. I had to get out and drain it in the marsh for about 15. It took me about 15, 20 minutes to get it out.
Oh, dang!
So I had to slightly upgrade pretty quickly, man.
Pretty quick, huh? Yep, no doubt. Dang. Yeah. So, you kicked off your business, huh? That's been
It's 100% full time now. I'm saying it like that, man. Not toot my own horn, man. I'm pretty hyped on it, dude. I really am, because it's something I've been wanting to do my entire life to some extent. Mm-hmm. You know, even before kayak fishing even entered or was on my radar, I knew that I wanted to work in a way that allowed me to live in the outdoors and be able to help others connect with the resource in the ways that I love to. So I had a job, dude. You know, that's what I call it, a job, right. a real job, you know. And it wasn't even 9 to 5, man. I was working 60 to 80 hours a week. You know, I was in sales and marketing and sales for a local athletic company. And family-owned, small business, close friend of mine was the owner. So that's how that happened. But anyway, long story short, man, I was with them for a few too many years. I was burnt out a few years before that.
Right,
And, you know, I started off supposed to be doing the social media and stuff like that and turned out doing A to Z, you know, running the store A to Z.
Catch y'all.
had me customer service, had me doing customer service, order and inventory, et cetera, dude. In retail, you know, just... I learned a lot, though, man. I did.
Yeah.
A lot of that transferred and converted. Maybe convert that into a lot of stuff that I'm doing now. All right. So, dude, I mean, I guess we all know it. You know, we know what's happening these past couple of years, man. Coronavirus hit.
Yep.
Coronavirus hit. And I was out of work for a solid 3 months. And what was awesome about it is I've been planning to do this for years.
Yeah.
And this has been a goal of mine, and I've been doing it, you know, on a part-time basis I've been guiding on a part-time basis, unofficially, for about the past 5 years.
Yeah.
But it was only when I had time and dudes would catch me off Instagram and stuff like that. And
at Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
So, coronavirus hit, 3 months, I'm fishing every day, just going nuts on the fish. And I just decided, man, I made the decision. I said, look, that coronavirus just was kind of just a fire under my tail, mm-hmm. you know, just lit that fire under my butt.
Hit it up.
And it was like, dude, you know what? You need to just go ahead and jump. And you know, I jumped off that cliff and, you know, I've been getting some bumps and bruises along the way, man, but that's what it's about. I wouldn't have it any other way, man, because now it's like, if I don't fish, I don't mm-hmm. eat. And I freaking love it, man. You know,
yeah.
It's pressure. Yeah, there is times to where it's pressure, but just being able to offer that connection to others, dude. To offer that experience to others and to use my experiences to enhance their experience with our resource. It's just, you know, it's what wakes me up in the morning, man. That's
right, right.
That's my caffeine, dude.
It's cool to still have that passion and drive about it, too. And, you know, like you said, coming up, bumps and bruises, that's school of hard knocks. That's what makes you stronger, man, and keeps you growing.
That's how I came up, man. So it's you know, ramen noodles, pot of meat, peanut butter and jelly, man. That's life, man. Sometimes it is what it is. You know, and I'm all right with that, man, if I'm doing it for myself, man. So I'm feeling 100% better, man. Super hyped on it. Next month makes my first full year in business.
Sweet. And what all do y'all offer? You're doing like a full guide service. You have the equipment, the gear, everything. Mothershipping opportunities. And tell everybody where you're based out of exactly.
All right, dude, 100%, man. I get a lot of questions on social media, people asking about, you know, details and info for trips, no matter how many times I post it or have it posted up on the site.
Yeah.
And that's all good, man. I love it, man. I love interacting with the folks, man, when they're showing interest in something that I'm, you know, something that I'm doing. So I'd say that I wanted to start off I didn't want to spread myself too thin. Because I'm the type of guy that I like to be all in or nothing. And I like to be able to, I don't want to shortchange myself, but definitely not anybody that I'm, you know, that I'm working with on a client basis. So what I did is I this has been cooking in my brain for years now, you know, so when I launched the business, I already kind of had the game plan and had it all laid out. I had used, ever since I first got on Instagram, I had it in my mind. I had a goal in my mind that I'm using this as a digital resume, as a digital portfolio, because one of these days, I'm going to be doing this full time, man. So when I actually decided to just pull the trigger, I told myself, man, that it's going to just pedal to the metal. And this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to go after, whatever it takes, you know. So started off with four kayaks, running Diablo Paddle Sports, Amigos.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely love them, man. Thomas and Megan, great folks, man, over there in the Austin area. You know, love the whole vibe of the community, of the company, you know, super small, super angler orientated, you know. You can definitely tell from the first paddle stroke that they're well thought out from the perspective of an angler. You know, it wasn't just some factory pushed out stuff, not knocking anybody's stuff. Just you could tell that you could tell they're hardcore and love what they build. All right. So it started off me thinking just, okay, I'm going to just do just basic inshore trips. But again, I had so many ideas just stewing and cooking for so many years. I said, okay, I'm just going to expand it, man. So what I'm doing now, I'm offering day trips. I'm offering day trips in the interior marsh, 4 to 6 hour trips. And I like to tell people, and that's I lost my train of thought, that all equipment is provided and all trips are guided. Trips are guided and all equipment is provided. It's not you're coming to rent a kayak and I send you on the way.
No, we're taking them out there.
100%, yeah. Man. 100%. And that goes for all the trips, man. I'm with them 100%. And of course, you would think that most people would think that. I already know that that would be a given. But you'll come across a lot of people. Oh, what if I bring my own kayak? I rent one from you and you show me where to go and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, I always say that all equipment's provided and they're 100% guided. So
exactly.
Yeah, I provide all the equipment from A to Z, man, from A to Z. Now I don't have, you know, I'm not running super technologically advanced systems and all that. You know, I got a push pole, you know, I got a push pole and a paddle. I'm in 6 to 18 inches of water with my folks, right? 90% of the time. Yep. No need for pedals, no need for depth finders, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. You want to know how warm the water is, touch it, yep. You know, but anyway, so my operation is pretty streamlined in that regard in terms of gear, all the rods and reels, et cetera, man. Just long story short, man, all the gear is provided. So I'll do the basic inshore trips and then I'll do interior and exterior, marsh and the bays out to the barrier islands on the mothership.
Yeah.
So we're offering day trips. To where, you know, it's a 3-person minimum on the mothership trips. We're offering day trips. You want to go out to the barrier islands, spend a day out there. We'll go from safe flight until safe flight to safe flight. And, you know, just spend a day out there,
eat lunch on the beach.
Yeah, man. eat some lunch on the beach, man. You know, hang out for lunch, go back after them in the evening bite, you know. And then I'm doing the overnight trips.
Overnight
fish camping trips. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner's on me, man. I'm doing it. I'm offering meal options to where you can get the grits and eggs in the morning, turkey sandwiches in the afternoon, and some hamburgers and hot dogs in the evening.
Or something like that, yep.
Or you can get some shrimp and grits in the morning, some jambalaya and char-grilled oysters in the evening.
There you go.
You know, and then I'm doing steaks and shrimp, steaks, whatever they want to do, man. You
whatever
know,
they want. Oh, man, you got that 5-star treatment on the upgrade.
I'm giving them the options, you know. Just giving them those options, man.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And yeah, that sounds like a fun trip too, man. That overnight camping trip.
I got all the gear for that too. You know, all the tents provided. I mean, I'm cooking, dude. You're able to fish hard in the morning in the kayaks. You come back in the evening, fish hard in the surf for the speckled trout. You know, you got a big old yellow mouse in the surf out there with a salinity. You got higher salinity out there.
Yes, sir.
And then at night we're gigging for flounders. And then we start over, man. We start over in the morning, man.
Yeah, I see you got all your gear lined up. Look like you're going through cleaning, get stuff set up.
Yeah, I got
Get ready for the weekend. Yes, sir.
That's what I'm doing, man. I think tomorrow might be kind of tough with the weather, but I definitely got Sunday running.
Oh, I know. We had a storm streaming in all day today. I slept good because we had it raining and stuff, but man, it sure does a trick. That lightning sure does a trick on them fish sometimes. So, man, I hope, I know we're supposed to have like, it's 90% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. And I was like, man, I said, the rain don't bother me a bit. I'll fish all day in the rain.
Yeah, the fish
are dealing with, start dealing with that electricity, that lightning, stuff that go flash and boom. I don't like none of that. Especially when you're on top of the water with your lightning rod sticking straight up in the air.
definitely better to play it smart, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, whatever. Tell everybody the name of your guide business. And then I'll post a link in the show description when we post this and on the video on YouTube of the contact info and everything. But Kayak Adventure Co. Kayak Adventure Co., right?
Yeah, Explore Kayak Adventures is the name of the business, you know, the LLC or whatnot. But on Instagram, you can find us at Explore_Kayak_AdCo.
It's right there on the screen. If you're watching this video on YouTube or Facebook, it's right there along with his Instagram tag, Redfishology. And that's just, man, he started that. He had like a whole marketing scheme in itself right there. He's like, man, we're Redfishology. I like that. That's how I found him. I found him by his famous redfish cradle pics. Like the fish that you see with the close up of the face and all that. I said, I found him. That's how I found
their
him.
Eyes,
we connected on Instagram and been following each other for probably a little over a few years now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And that's how I find you. So you know, the cradle shots you got are pretty cool. It's a good platform for growth of the business and then to gain a following and all that. What kicked off them shots, man? You just had to come up with something different. You're out there by yourself and didn't have nobody take no picture. That's it,
That's a big part of it, man. Honestly, man. And I was never, you know, much of a fan of social media. I started brainstorming about the business and I said, okay, I'm going to use it as a marketing tool. That's one thing. And then I started thinking like, man, I'm out here just witnessing just these beautiful fish. I want to share them. So I need a platform. So then I just started doing it. And, you know, you have to improvise and get creative, you know, when you're out there by yourself and you don't have all the equipment. I was armed with nothing but an iPhone 5, man. And I'm out there with my iPhone 5 trying to figure it out and deal with within the parameters of my gear and my ability, but also trying to be creative. And I got to give a shout out, man, to a couple of the Redfish OGs on Instagram, man. You got, you know, guys like the Trail Chaser.
Yeah.
You know, David down there in POC.
Yeah, I fish with him. I fish with David. Me and David fish the same areas, man. He's a good dude.
He rolled out the red carpet for me when I came down, man. You know, he was an awesome host. I fished with him there. Hope to get him over here one of these days. But just, you know, so I'd look at the pictures and it's kind of, you know, get some ideas. And then the other, I don't know this guy personally. I don't know him, but this is Instagram. It's Ghost Water, you know. So seeing just stuff like that kind of, you know, was a lot of the inspiration behind it. And I got to mention those guys, man, because their creatives, just what they were doing, just kind of sparked it for me. And then I just did my best to keep on trying to show and share, you know, the beauty of the fish that I'm seeing firsthand, you know, just to put it out there for folks to also enjoy, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. And then also, you know, me being a contributor myself to some magazines and some media. You also contribute to
Martian Bayou Magazine.
Martian Bayou Magazine. Yeah, that's an outfitter shop too, right there in
they're in Mandeville now.
Mandeville. They were in New Orleans, right?
They were dead in the center of the French Quarter.
Dead in the center of French Quarter, that's right.
Smack in the center of the French Quarter. magazine, I think they've been publishing for, they've been printing for, I'd say 20, 21 years.
Yeah, it's up there.
It's two brothers, Chris and Ben Tibley. They definitely got a top-notch production, publication, but now they've moved to a new location. It's been close to a year now, and they have a full-fledged.
They blowing up, dude.
They have a full-fledged outfitter, man. They're not just selling gear. They're booking trips. They're doing. I mean, and in the magazine, it's. I feel like they've done a really good job. It's a free mag. It's 100%.
Right. You know, that's how the one magazine I write for over here. It uses sponsor. Ad dollars to put it out there for free.
Yep. You know, so they got that good balance, man. That good balance, yep. That perfect balance of relevant ads and, mm-hmm. and pertinent and relative, good information at the same time, to where they're not just, you know, just bombarding you with ads. You got the ads that you want to see, and you know, so they have a good balance, man. A great balance. They've worked that out, and I write for the magazine every month. I've been doing it for a while now. Got some new stuff coming with the magazine that I'm actually going to be working with them on. There'll be a new section in the magazine called the Tackle Box.
Oh, right on.
The Tackle Box. It'll be a two-page spread, and it'll give companies an opportunity to advertise for a pretty cut rate, you know, a really good price. Yeah. And to run, they'll be on that page once they sign that contract and they sign up for that Tackle Box. They'll have an ad every month of the year, you know. So if anybody's interested in that, man, you can give me a holler about that now too. The tackle,
give them a holler. Man. Oh, sweet, man, that'd be a cool little deal. You know, I enjoy. You know, like me, I didn't like writing in high school. I ain't like doing no book reports and no essays and all that stuff. And then you know, my senior year, literature teacher actually comments on my stuff. She says, "I just can't believe you. You're so into this with this, just writing about something you're passionate about. Where was this at in high school?" I said, "I ain't want to write about no Shakespeare. What's up?"
Right.
She's like, "No." She said, "I like it how you turn something fun into yeah, what dude. You're doing with it, you know, and it's super cool, you know, being able to write about your experiences on the water, share with everybody else on a platform that lets you." So that's cool. Martian Bayou, check them out. Hit them up at the store there in Mandeville. They are also a Jackson Kayak dealer. So shout out for the JKs in there in the house.
They definitely.
So yeah, are. Cool deal, man. Well, man, dude, I loved having you on here, brother.
Glad to be here, man. Glad. Thanks for having me, dude.
So you know, at this point, we usually give you the guest the stage, man, and any shout outs you want to give. You know, it's all yours right here. Get some sponsor shout outs or some props or whatever you got, man.
All right, man. Never was much into the whole pro staff thing, but I'm not going to get on a soapbox, man. I looked at it as I wanted to develop relationships. I wanted to develop relationships with companies that I believed in, stuff that I was using already. And yep. I've been fortunate to develop some really solid and good working relationships with a bunch of folks, man. And I'm all about cross promotion, man. I'm still my one and only employee. I'm my own one and only employee.
Dang.
I'm still trying to pay myself, man. I can't, you know, give all that free promo for a discount code.
Right,
man.
Right.
I don't need you to give me no free stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, not knocking it at all, dude. It to each their own. But I've worked a lot with the local rod company, Zook Rods. Zook Rods is out of the New Orleans area. Everything from super light to super heavy, you know, custom rods. We have a manufactured rod series. I started with him, got him to build me a custom, and absolutely loved it. Loved what he was doing. Loved the fact that it was local. He was my neighbor, able to be with him through the entire process. He pulled my thoughts and my vision for the rods that I wanted, and he just made them golden, man. He made them awesome.
Sweet.
Fell in love with them. Then he started doing a manufactured rod series, and I started doing a lot of his R&D and all of his testing before he went to market with them. So we developed a relationship over that time. I'm doing all the testing and R&D and bouncing stuff off of him. He's bouncing stuff off of me. And now, man, I'm his one and only sales guy, man. I'm a sales rep for Zook Rods too, man. That's my side hustle. You know, you got to have more than one iron in the fire, man. Especially when you're starting a business. Yeah. Especially when you're starting a business in times like these, man.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I sell rods for Zook rods. Worked a lot with Robert Watts, man. Robert's a great guy. Lazy Man Hooks out of Sulphur, Louisiana. He's definitely shown a lot of love over the years, man, and vice versa. Have a great working relationship with Robert Watts, man. Not sponsored or anything, but can't do what I do without a good pair of polarized shades.
Yep.
Brakeline Optics has been really good to me. Great group of guys. Love their shades. Definitely have helped me, you know, in my pursuit for, you know, addiction, I would say. My addiction to side fishing.
For sure.
Can't leave out Diablo, man. Thomas and Megan are, you know, super cool. Love their boats, man. Kind of shouted them out already. Actually just got back from a road trip a month or so ago. I made that haul from New Orleans to out there to pick up some more kayaks, man, to beef up the fleet, you know. Next time
you come out, you got to give me a shout, man. I'm only an hour and a half from Austin, man.
Oh, man. That'd be right great, there. Man. That'd be I'm great, right man. There.
What crawls are you throwing? You got a certain brand you like on deal?
All right, man. Now, this is a sad story, and it's not a story. I'll be real short, but it's Shoo-Shoo Lures, man. Shoo-Shoo Lures was a Slidell company, a company out of Slidell, Louisiana, which is a suburb of New Orleans. Had a bunch of solid anglers running it. And, you know, dudes were, you know, these were anglers making stuff for anglers. And, you know, I started using, I had been using it for, you know, a good while, man. And after a solid year or so, they just reached out and they're like, dude, we want to work with you, man. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Flooded me with craws, man. And just, we kept it going. And now, you know, the owner of Shoo-Shoo Lures, him and I are not only friends, like good friends. We fish a lot together. He's got a, you know, a sight fishing, you know, stand on his boat. Every once in a while, I'll take a break and go.
There you go.
Do some grocery shopping from the site tower, man.
Oh yeah.
But so Shoo-Shoo Lures now, they actually, sadly, man, they went out of business. He just became so busy. He got so busy with his career, and it's just kind of had to take a back, put it on the back burner for now. So I'm pretty much to the end of my stash, man. So,
I got some for you. I got you covered.
I've been kind of just mixing them up. They got another local guy over here close to me, Tail Chasers, Chris Cochran. Tail Chasers. He shot me. I gave him an idea that I wanted for some blue crab craws with a white underbelly. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to be as realistic colored as possible. And he shot some for me. I got a bunch of those now. If not that, I'm throwing I like the Cajun craws.
Cajun lures,
The Cajun lures. That's about it, man.
Some good stuff, man.
Definitely, dude. Definitely. And, you know, people say, all right, how you throwing bass baits for redfish? Man, pretty much all the redfish baits that we had were once bass baits, man.
They were worse bass baits, too. Yep. Especially when they way up in that grass. You got to have a weedless presentation, you know.
Yeah, man.
Hollow-bodied frogs. Kill them. Dude. On them flood tides, dude.
There's some spots over here where the SAV, the submerged aquatic vegetation is getting technical, man. The SAV gets so thick, you can't do anything with it. Even with weedless, you're wrestling. And yeah. I'm gonna say this. I gotta say that I didn't say it earlier. The grass is your friend, man.
Oh yeah.
At least you know the grass. It gives them that habitat, but it also just helps clean up and filtrate that water.
And it's cover for the bait fish and the crabs.
Exactly.
And it's structure for that fish. They feel kind of
it's just that
happy around
that micro
it, you know?
that microcosm, man. A microcosm of activity, man.
Showing up.
And definitely, man. Fish the grass heavy. I'll run them weedless craws, and sometimes it gets so thick. I'll throw the topwater frogs, and redfish will come from under the grass mat, come out with a head full of grass, you know, coming out like a swamp.
Just like the bass, man. Dude. Just like the bass, dude.
Like a ghillie suit.
The ones you can burn them on top of the grass. Actually, sometimes I'll just throw a EWG wide gap weedless hook with no weight on a crawl and just pitch it to them on a spinner reel.
Definitely.
Same thing, you know. Just man, the grass. I love when they in the grass like that, especially that submerged stuff you're talking about.
Got to improvise, man. And it's getting that time. You know, the cold front's kind of set all that back, man. We haven't,
you know, I was in an area a couple of days ago that's by this time of year, last year, in the past few years, as far as I can remember, it was blown up, man. But this year, I think this cold front set us back a little bit, man, because it was pretty sparse, man. It was, you know, there wasn't much at all.
There's a lot of our vast lakes are like that, too, with that hardcore freeze we had. Killed a lot of the submerged vegetation, the milfoil and hydrilla. It's just starting to come back with those water temps getting above 70. So looking forward to that, too. But, man, once again, brother, lots of info on here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, brother.
For this segment here, brother. And then, you know, thanks to all the listeners. This wouldn't be possible without everybody out there. You know, Waterloo Rods and True Storm Co. for the support for this show. Other sponsors for the Paddle and Fin Network. We appreciate everybody listening. You know, like I said, it's not possible without listeners and support from them. So with that being said, another edition, Chasing Tides wrapped up. We'll catch y'all on the next one.
All right.
You.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.